Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guesthouse overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the waterfront at the Morro Bay Maritime Museum. And we're here with one of the founding characters of the museum, Larry Newland. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Good. Going back in time, you were instrumental in starting the Maritime Museum, right?
Oh, yeah. I started with the group at that time. It was called the Central Coast Maritime Museum Association.
And how long ago was that?
It was 1992 or 93. Mm-hmm. And then I became the president in the mid-90s, and I was the president for 20 years. I was with the organization officially for about 28 years.
So today, this month, August, kind of a cool month for y'all because you have a 16th century Spanish galleon replica sailing up as we talk from San Diego.
That's correct. The replica of the flagship of Juan Rodriguez Cabrillo's 1542 expedition is owned by the San Diego Maritime Museum. And just like in 2016, we are partnering with them now to host them for about 10 days up here in Morro Bay.
And when they arrive and you host them, then kids and families can go out on the galleon, correct?
It's a static dockside tours.
Also,
it's not taking people sailing. The vessel, where it's going to be parked on the inside of the South T Pier, it's a little tight to get in and out of there. Mm-hmm. And in terms of also letting people see the ship, more people can see it if it's static and dockside.
Sure. And it has an auxiliary engine, right?
Yes. I mean, the boat is actually better built than Cabrillo's. Of course, that's because it has to go through all sorts of Coast Guard inspections for electrical and mechanical. But it has twin John Deere diesels, so it can motor when there's no wind.
Mm-hmm. But it's full sail capability.
Oh, yes. When you see it, it looks like a blast from the past. It's, mm-hmm. It's a time machine.
And what's the crew complement to run a boat like that?
Well, they usually have the captain, and that's usually Dr. Ray Ashley, who's the CEO of the museum, and he's also the captain, and he's a historian. He usually has a second in command. There's usually an engineer and four or five hands, and then sometimes a cook.
Mm-hmm. And again, back to square one, when does it arrive? How long does it stay here?
We're planning on the vessel arriving on August 10th. Exactly what time of the day, we don't know. It depends on the tides. But it could be as early as the 9th. Mm-hmm. Tours start on August 11th and conclude on August 20th.
And how about cost of entry, ticket to come aboard?
It's $12 for adults, $10 for seniors, and there's a youth price, I forget what that is, and children 3 and under with a paid adult are free.
And what does somebody see on board?
Well, the way they're going to set it up this time, slightly different than before, it should look like the crew just got up and walked away. And so when you go down below and in the hold and some of the living areas, you'll see a lot of 16th century garb, clothing, utensils, navigational equipment. So it's set up like a static museum.
When the crew runs the ship, we talked about they're going to be coming up the coast pretty soon. Do they go under full sail most of the time?
When they can, when there's wind. And I'm told that the vessel sails quite well for, you know, a 16th century machine.
So it really is as close to time travel as we can get in maritime history.
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it. I mean, it is a kind of time machine. It was a state-of-the-art piece of equipment, mm-hmm. for the 1500s. It changed the way our world developed, having that transportation technology.
Anything you want to add about the San Salvador?
Well, we're still looking for volunteers. If you want to volunteer to be a tour guide, mm-hmm. there are 4.5-hour shifts, one in the morning, one in the evening. And you can go on to our website at morobaymaritime.org, both to buy tickets or to plug yourself into the tour schedule, and we'll train you. We already had a training session a few days ago. There'll be another one the day before tour start aboard the vessel. So if you like talking to people, like telling stories, you like to make a connection with people in history, come on down and talk to us.
And basically, what are people trained in to be able to talk intelligently about the craft?
Just sort of the cursory information about the vessel, mm-hmm. and basically to guide people through the different levels of the boat.
Very cool. So as long as I have you here at the Morro Bay Maritime Museum, talk for a moment about what's here.
Well, you know, it's changing all the time, and part of the impetus behind this visit of the San Salvador is to generate enough revenue to expand north to where we're sitting right now. But right now there's the main building, which has various exhibits, all in kind of a cursory fashion. No subject matter at the museum is really exhaustive, just enough to whet your appetite.
So it's pretty much random and all-encompassing.
Yeah.
You have a classic Monterey double-ender,
yes.
ocean-going fishing vessel.
The 1933, the Spindrift, built by the Genoa Boat Works, which also built an identical vessel for Joe DiMaggio's father.
Mm-hmm. You have a U.S. Coast Guard rescue vessel.
Yes, we have a 30-foot Coast Guard surf rescue boat, and it was actually posted in Morro Bay for a while, as well as other places, but it was decommissioned years ago, and we were able to obtain that for display.
One of my favorite, the Alma.
The Alma, with its storied history, built in 1927, during the Calvin Coolidge administration.
Wow.
But it got its fame when it rescued two of the four lifeboats off the sunken Montebello oil tanker that was torpedoed 2 weeks after the attack on Pearl Harbor, just north of here.
And it was purpose-built as a tugboat.
It was as a tugboat, what they used to call a gas boat or a line boat. So it could be a tug, it could be just kind of a general utility boat, but it was used for fishing for a while by one owner.
And it was stationed right here in Morro Bay its entire career, right?
Well, most of its career. It was in Southern California for Standard Oil. And during World War II, most of the time, it was moored off the Cayucas Pier. In fact, that's where it was when it dashed out to rescue the crew from the Montebello.
Well, when I first moved to the county, it was still seaworthy.
Yeah. We used to go drive it around. I drove it around several times. But, you know, keeping a boat in the water, as any boat owner will attest to, boy, oh boy, the maintenance. So we were a fledgling little organization, and we had limited funds, so we just could not afford to keep it up, so we hauled it, and it's a static display now.
And before it was brought ashore, at some point, the owners had done a ferro cement.
Well, yes, that ferro cement was put over the original wood back about 1972 or 73 in Avila Beach in Port San Luis. But originally, it's oak frames and fir planking.
So the original hull is all encased within the concrete.
Yes, it is. And if you picture a gunite swimming pool, a concrete pool, it's a little bit like that. You put this steel exoskeleton, attach it to the wood, and then you use a mortar paste and you build it up, and you basically encase the wood in this concrete tomb.
Could it be seaworthy again, or is it too corroded?
Well, with enough money, anything's possible,
yeah.
But you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Larry Newland, thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. We've been visiting with Larry Newland, one of the founders of the Maritime Museum in Morro Bay. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guesthouse overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students, preserving the past and inspiring future generations of dreamers. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, STEAM, along with studying the legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture. The foundation at Hearst Castle not only changes the lives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors and members. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.